Pastors of Abundant Life Fellowship Church, praise God, in Ridgely, Tennessee. Who knows where Ridgely, Tennessee is? Who knows, a couple of people, who knows where Real Foot Lake is? Real Foot Lake's famous. Who's heard of Real Foot Lake? That's Memphis, but instead of going into Arkansas, go above Memphis, what, 50 miles? 100 miles. Top northwest corner. So we're one extreme to the other here. Top northwest corner, close to the Mississippi River and the, is that Arkansas?
The Boot Hill of Missouri.
All right, praise God. Amen. So, you know, it's interesting. David and Tammy have been the pastor there 37 years. And Tammy almost 37 years, because I think David had been there a little less than a year, I think, when y'all got married. And so she became a wife and a pastor's wife, you know, like that. But it wasn't as big a jump as you might expect, though, because her father is a pastor, was a pastor. And she grew up in a pastor's home and knew in her heart she was going to marry a pastor, I think, anyway. So so they have done an outstanding work there. Praise God. David graduated from Rhema in 1982. Is that right? 82. And he is the regional director for the Rhema Ministerial Association International, has been doing that for a number of years. And we are really blessed. These are very, very sweet people. And Tammy's a laundry sometimes, but these are very, very sweet people. No, we just go at it. These are very, very sweet people. We love them very much. And they are, David, like the rest of us, is a trophy of God's grace, praise God. And so we are so glad that they are here together. You look a little too comfortable. Send that one more time. Amen. Let's honor God. And let's give praise and thanksgiving to God. And welcome Brother David Gray to the platform up here this morning. Amen. Make him feel appreciated.
Well, glory. Say it out loud, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Smile at somebody. Tell them you're glad they're here this morning. You can be seated. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. We've been here several times at the church for different reasons and different meetings. And we heard of this church and the Stricklands back in the early 80s, before we ever knew them, before we ever met them, Angel and Raleen Amanderas. Anybody remember those guys? They always talked about Pastor Mark. So it was in the early 90s before we ever met Pastor Mark. So it's good to be here. Tammy, you stand up and let them see you. Wave at everybody. She's a blessing. And like Brother Mark said, she can be honoring a little bit every once in a while. But there's been no bloodshed between us since we've been married. And we've never actually hit each other. No blows passed. Her daddy set me down and said, she may need a spanking every once in a while, but just you better not do it. I said, yes, sir. I said, yes, sir. So anyway, well, let's go in our Bibles to James chapter 5. They asked me to give my testimony, and so I got me some little bullet points here to try to keep me on track. Brother Mark said, y'all get out about 12, 15, right? All right. James chapter 5, I think y'all know this passage of scripture. James chapter 5, I'm going to talk about my parents as much as I am myself. This morning, James chapter 5 and verse 16, and we'll pray and get into it. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for this honor, this opportunity, the privilege that we have to come together in the name of Jesus, to worship you in your house, in your presence, And Father, now as we open the Word of God, we trust that the Spirit of truth will lead and guide us and speak to us. And Father, as I share what you've done in my life, I want you to be glorified, but I also want people to be helped and blessed. And Father, we'll give you the praise. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Look at James chapter 5. Y'all know this verse. We could probably quote it out loud. But it says in verse 16, confess your trespasses one to another and pray one for another. He says that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Avails much. How many is glad that God hears and answers our prayer? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Well, my grandmother was a very godly woman and a great influence in my life. My parents moved next door to my grandparents when I was in the second grade, so I got to grow up next to my grandparents. She was a woman that loved the Lord. She loved to study the Word of God. She did home Bible studies plus church all the time, and she loved to pray. I don't know how many times I'd come in and she'd be on the telephone and she'd have her eyes shut and she's praying with somebody, and they would pray 20 or 30 minutes on the phone, taking turns back and forth. And she was Baptist. Everybody say, God bless the Baptist. But she wasn't your typical Baptist. She had a real walk with the Lord, a real fellowship with the Lord. She heard from heaven. She heard from heaven. And the Spirit of God led her a number of different ways. And then my parents had grown up in Ridgely, where I'm from. And they moved to California when they graduated high school. And I was born in Los Angeles. Can't you tell by my... I was born in Los Angeles, and when they were when I was 3.5 years old, they moved back to Tennessee. And I'm glad they did, because I wouldn't be alive if I'd grown up in Los Angeles. I was blessed to grow up in Tennessee. Everything laid back and easy going and, you know, good old boys. But anyway, my dad got saved 2 weeks before they moved back from California. So I grew up in church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. The Baptist church we attended, it's actually on the same block that I live on right now, at the end of the street. They had Sunday school, and Sunday night they called it training union. So I'm in 4 sessions every Sunday. Wednesday night, they had revival. I'm there every week, every service. If I had perfect attendance pins that they hung and on your lapel and you wore it to church, I had like 3 or 4 years straight. I never missed a Sunday, never missed a service. And so I never got born again. That's the sad thing. But I'm thankful my parents raised me and made me go to church. And my grandmother, she was a little on the healthy side. And so in Sunday service, when I was younger, my mother made her move. We sat on the second row on the side. They made us move up in the little Sunday school wing. And I had to sit on one side of her, and my brother sat on the other side so we wouldn't fight each other during church service. And then my grandmother had big fluffy arms, and I just lean over and I go to sleep. So I slept through church service after church service after church service. I eventually became a part of the youth choir, and then as I got old enough, they wanted me to sing in the adult choir, and I continued to sleep in the choir loft on Sunday. That was just my Sunday morning practice. And there was four or five men that joined with me. Now, we didn't lay on each other's arms, but we slept. And don't you know that was a blessing for the church congregation to see the pastor and four or five guys with their heads leaned back to the wall asleep during the sermon. But anyway, I walked the church aisle when I was about 10 or 12 years old. Came down front. They voted me in. And then a week or two later, I was baptized in water. Not born again. But anyway, church was just part of our life. So when I got into high school, about my junior year of high school, I started experimenting with alcohol and drugs. And when I started, I liked it. I did it that first time I started drinking. After that, it was like every weekend and two or three times a week. I was smoking marijuana going to school, and I would take pills in school. And it was just a daily thing that I did my junior year and my senior year of high school. Some of the stuff I just don't really remember participating in much, but I was there, and I did graduate. And so, but when I finished high school, I had a problem with drugs and alcohol. And so I couldn't keep a job. I worked for a couple of years, and it got to where I couldn't keep the jobs that I would get. But then, and it was because of drugs and alcohol, I woke up one morning, went and got my friend, and we went and joined the Navy. Just spur of the moment. Joined the Navy, and 2 weeks out of boot camp, I never had been arrested and locked up. But 2 weeks out of boot camp, I'm at my duty station in Memphis, and I was arrested for what we call public drunk. Woke up in the drunk tank and spent the night there. 2 weeks later, I spent the night in the Memphis City Jail in the drunk tank. And it just became a... In 2 years' time, I was locked up 12 times. I've spent 5 months in the Shelby County Jail. That was the county jail, with the charge of robbery with a deadly weapon. And I was guilty. And my parents helped with a lawyer. They got a lawyer. And so the lawyer said, with good time, he may get out and 3 to 5 years, but your son's going to prison. So I turned 21. Y'all know the Merle Haggard song, I Turned 21 in Prison? Well, I turned 21 in the Shelby County Jail on my way to prison. But by this time, my parents had gotten out of just being religious. They were born again, but they got out of just being religious and going to church and participating. And very active, but they got serious with the Lord and had come across the Word of Faith message, had started to find out that God is faithful to His Word and to His promises. Isn't that good news? I said, isn't it good news? Thank God for the Word of Faith. My. So they actually went to their pastor and ask him, our sons, because I kept it hidden my junior year in high school, but senior year, they knew. I got into trouble with drugs and alcohol, got problems. So they went to their pastor and asked him, what can we do spiritually to help our son? And he said, well, it's been my experience, and he'd been a pastor for a number of years. He said, it's been my experience, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. He might get saved, but he's really going to have that problem the rest of his life. And so they left that council session with no hope, sort of hopeless meeting with their pastor. Everybody say, God bless the Baptist. Not because he just didn't know. Lack of knowledge is why people Lives are destroyed. But my parents turned on Christian TV, PTL, back in the day. And so they heard Brother Hagin on Jim Baker's network. They heard David Wilkerson and the Teen Challenge program. But when they heard that, hey, hope came, because here they had people testifying and declaring that Jesus Christ would set people free from drugs and alcohol. They didn't hear that preached in their church. They heard it on Christian TV, and it was with another denominational group. So they started going and visiting. And I just here the last few months, I got to thinking about some things. And part of the situation that caused them this prolonged situation dealing with me, I believe things would have happened quicker had they known some things that they learned several years down the road. And it was just as the Spirit of God led them. And they didn't have a church. How many knows the local church is important?
Yes.
And to have a pastor that will feed you the Word of God. Hey, let's turn to a passage of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I like where you can put it up on the screen there. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. 1 Thessalonians 3:10. There's something about having a pastor. How many know sheep need a shepherd?
Yes.
And a pastor can minister the Word of God supernaturally. It's not a man's natural wisdom and natural ability. It's the grace of God. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God can say things to you and through your shepherd that will be a word in season. Will be a word in season. Is there somebody here named Lisa? Somebody praying for Lisa? All right. Everybody say a word, huh? Yeah, online. Okay. Lisa, your answer's coming.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your answer's coming.
Yeah.
But look what it says here. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and what? Perfect what is lacking in your faith. The very thing you may need, it can be planted as a seed in any given service when you're sitting under your pastor. Amen.
Amen?
Amen? Supernatural. Didn't know it was going to be said. He may not have had it in his notes. But the Holy Ghost can say something to you. So my parents, they're just looking here and there. They didn't have a pastor. They didn't have a local church that was feeding them the word of faith. They were grasping for the word of faith. And God had mercy on them. First time they ever heard tongues with the interpretation was the Cowans in a Bible study in Union City, Tennessee. Bill and Charles Cowan. Message in tongues and interpretation. First time they ever been exposed to that, and said they knew it was God. Didn't understand what was going on. Never been around it before. But they knew it was God. But anyway, the Spirit of God started leading them. I'm in the Shelby County Jail, and the Lord speaks to my mother one morning. And she said she didn't know that she was doing this in faith, but she said when the Lord spoke to her, she would come visit me every week or so, and we had a 15-20 minute visit in this little visit box with other guys. But anyway, this was an odd day, and she showed up, and they called me down for a visit. When I get there, she's the only one there. We look through the little plexiglass window and talk over the phone, and she said, you're not going to prison. I said, I'm not going to prison. I said, how do you know? She said, the Lord told me. And I said, what did the lawyer say? Did you talk to the lawyer? But guess what? I didn't go to prison. Within a month, I walked out of that Shelby County Jail, and they dropped my charges to assault and battery and called it time served. But the word of faith, taking God and believing his word, asking him, and him being faithful to hear and answer our prayer. Amen. Amen. Woo-wee. Say it again. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. So she said she didn't know she was doing that in faith. But looking back, she said, you know, I did that as a step of faith. And God did something supernaturally. So when I got out of the Shelby County Jail, a month later, I was in the Navy Brig, and I had stayed there 3.5 months. And so 1979, I was locked up 8.5 months, 1979. And so about 6 months later, I'm out of jail, out of the Navy. I got out of the Navy. And so I went back to my parents' home, and when I was there, I just was just wide open drugs and alcohol. They didn't like it, and I wasn't there much, but I just touched base every once in a while. So one night I left about on Thursday night, and this was the end of February, and so I left Thursday night, and then Saturday, I don't know what happened Friday, don't remember. When I drank, I would black out and just go for hours and not know anything that took place. Sometimes somebody could tell me, I would ask questions, and I'd get little glimpse, vague pictures of this and that. But I spent several years just not knowing really much that went on. Isn't that stupid? Turn around and tell your neighbor, don't be so stupid. Don't ever get that stupid. Just ignorant. But that's the way I lived for years and thought it was cool. Thought I was having a real high heel time in and out of jail. So I left. Saturday, we started drinking. There was three of us. This guy, I had seen this guy in the bar. This other fellow I went to school with. There's the two other people. But one guy I'd just seen in the bar. I'd never been around him personally. So we spent the day together drinking, and we wound up Saturday night in Dyersburg, Tennessee, and there was a club there when we got to the place, the guy with us, the third guy that I didn't really know, he had passed out. He was asleep. So we woke him up and said, do you want to go in with us? He said, no, I'm asleep. So we went in. I don't remember all that happened. Next thing I know, I'm in the Dyersburg City Jail, locked up again. And so we spend the night in jail. We get out the next morning, had to pay a fine. I had money in my pocket that I was surprised it was there, but I got to pay cash for my own fine. And so we called a cab, hoping my car was at this establishment. Well, that night, this was March the 2nd, that night, Saturday night, a cold front came through, and there was about 5 inches of snow on the ground when we got out that morning. So when we got to the parking lot, my car was the only car on the parking lot. We walked over to it, got out of the cab, walked over to it, and when we got there, the windows were all iced over, and the doors were locked, so I had the keys, and I opened the door, and the guy that had been with us, he's in the back seat, and he's dead. he had died of a combination of alcohol poisons, what the autopsy said. We'd taken pills and drank a lot of alcohol. So they said it was a combination of alcohol poison. They didn't mention the drugs, but alcohol poison and exposure. And so he was dead, and we called the police department on a payphone, and the guys that had been the jailers that night, they were changing shifts, and they came by, knew where we had been, and they were very kind to us and treated us nice, and we rode in the squad car with them back to the place, and we had to go to the hospital and do blood work, and they brought us back to the jail, and we sat out in the lobby for a little while. Next thing we know, they lock us up, and they put us in separate cells. So they questioned us and this and that. Anyway, my buddy, he made bail. He left. I stayed in jail. And so I'm sitting there. It's about 2 o'clock that afternoon, Sunday afternoon, March the 2nd, 1980, Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, Dyersburg City Jail. I'm sitting there, and I start thinking about these questions. Just all of a sudden, the question popped up. Wonder if the roles had been reversed, because I passed out in the bar, he passed out in the car. Wonder if the roles had been reversed and I had fallen asleep in the car, spent the night out in the cold, would I have died last night? How many knows that'll mess your buzz up? That just, my buzz that had been spilling over from the night before, it was gone now. So I sat there a minute and I thought, I've done this a whole lot. Passed out, wake up, didn't know where I was. It could have very been a possibility that could have happened. And don't know what the outcome would have been. So then, not knowing the guy, this thought came. Wonder if he went to heaven or he went to hell. I didn't know him. And, you know, I didn't know anything about Christianity much at all. But I didn't know. Did he go to heaven? Did he go to hell? Well, I hope there was some way he made it. But I had no information. And then the third question. Well, if you had died last night, would you have gone to heaven or would you have gone to hell? I couldn't answer that. I didn't know. And I sat and pondered that for a while. And then I saw a little mini vision. It was a green pasture, green field. And it had a dirt path, a dirt road, and it forked in two directions. And I knew, just as well as I was sitting in that jail cell, I've got to make a decision about Jesus Christ today. No preacher. Nobody had to explain it to me. I'd been in church all my life. I knew the conviction of the Holy Ghost. I knew God was speaking to me, dealing with me, and I knew I had to make a decision. And I sat and thought about that for about an hour. And then I decided I'm ready. I give up. And I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And he did. I mean, he did. I didn't know that the Bible says that when we believe, we receive the gift of righteousness. How many is glad righteousness is a gift?
Yes.
And what Jesus Christ did on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection, by the grace of God, we don't earn righteousness. We don't develop righteousness. Righteousness is given to us as a gift. And in Romans 10, 9 and 10, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. When I received Jesus, I sensed in my heart that I'm right with God now. I've been made right with God. And it was wonderful. I mean, it was wonderful. Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. So I sat there a few more minutes, and I had this other idea. My parents had told me about Teen Challenge. And my idea of what Teen Challenge was a hospital ward. They were going to tie me to a bed, and nurses were going to pray for me. I don't know why I got that picture, but that was my concept of Teen Challenge. They said, "Don't you think you need to go to get some help to Teen Challenge?" I said, "No, I'm not going to Teen Challenge." So anyway, that came back, Teen Challenge. And I said, "Lord, whatever this is, if you'll give me an opportunity, I know I need help. If you'll give me an opportunity, I'll go to Teen Challenge." And so guess what happened? Very next day, I didn't make any phone calls. I didn't talk to anybody. I'm in this jail cell by myself. The next day, the officer that had talked to me the day before, he came in and said, "The judge wants to make a deal with you." He said he'll drop the charges, because they found a couple of pills in my car and had charged me with possession. And I knew two pills wasn't going to put me in jail. So he said he'll drop charges if you'll go to a rehab. I said, "What is it?" He said, "Teen Challenge." I said, "I'll go. I'll go." So I went to court. My mother showed up there, and we went home. And then the next day, we found an office in Memphis. And I went to the office in Memphis, and they found an opening for me in Missouri. And so that was Tuesday that we were in Memphis. The next Tuesday, I'm in Teen Challenge in St. Louis, Missouri. And so I spent 12 months there. I actually came home and went back for vocational training. And when I left there, I went to Rhema. But I want to share with you what happened on the Sunday morning that God was dealing with me. My parents hadn't seen me since Thursday night. And Sunday morning, my dad, he taught adult Sunday school, and he also led the adult singing in the congregation. And so he got up that morning, and he told my mother, he said, "Something's wrong with David. Don't know what it is." We hadn't heard from him. Didn't have cell phones back then. So we don't know where he is, don't know what's going on, but something's wrong with David. And he said, "I just seems like I need to stay home this morning and pray for him." So my mother said, "I didn't really expect him to even come to the service that morning," but he did. But he spent that hour or so prior during Sunday school and prayed for me. And he said he got release. He got a peace that God had heard and answered him, and everything was going to be all right with me. Well, it turned out good that day. Now, my mother had been visiting these. There was a women's fellowship, a full gospel fellowship thing with women in Dyer County, and she had been visiting with them, and they had my name on a prayer list for several years. And so a lady that knew my name, knew my mother, heard my name on the scanner that morning. Her husband had a scanner, and she's getting ready to go to church, and she heard my name come over the scanner, and so she started praying for me that morning. So I had a vision from heaven, because I had two people praying the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous. The Amplified says it makes tremendous power available, the prayers of a righteous man. And so my parents and other people have been praying for me for years, but that particular morning, led by the Spirit of God, led by the Holy Ghost, they kicked in real quick, and I'm thankful for that. My dad and mother went to camp meeting. While I was in Teen Challenge, they really didn't know who the Hagans were like we do now, but they decided they were going to go to camp meeting. And they came back from camp meeting and brought a brochure to the Bible school at Rhema. And the week before, I didn't know they were going to that meeting, but the week before, I was in Teen Challenge, and we had to have a prayer time every night, four nights a week in her room. And so during our prayer time there, I had made a commitment to the Lord. I want to go to Bible school. I'm asking you to give me this opportunity. Well, my parents come the next weekend after they got back from camp meeting, and they brought me a bunch of little mini books of people that were in the, some of them were Norval Hayes and Jerry Savelle and Kenneth Copeland and Brother Hagin, Pastor Hagin. And so my dad said, yeah, and this man's got a Bible school. I hadn't told him that I'd prayed about this. give me Romans 8, chapter 14. Give me Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Y'all thought we were going to do pillow talk this morning, didn't you? That picture? Sons of God, huh? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what are they? These are the sons of God. Children of God, Brother Hagin, you say it like this. Children of God should expect to be led by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Right? Well, look at verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with what? Our spirit that we are children of God. Brother Hagin taught us that that's the number one way God leads his children is the inward witness. Not a voice, not a vision, not something spectacular and supernatural. It is supernatural. But it's the witness of the Spirit, in your heart. And it's more of a knowing than it is a word. You just know. Well, I prayed about Bible school, and my dad pulls out this brochure. And we're sitting out there in lawn chairs. They would bring lawn chairs, and we'd sit outside and visit. And he handed me that brochure. When I took hold of it, I didn't know what the inward witness was, but I experienced it.
Yeah.
And just something inside went off. And I didn't know anything about Kenneth Hagin, didn't know anything about Rhema. I didn't know even when I went that it was a ministry training school. I just went to study the Word of God. So that inward witness, God was leading me.
Yeah.
And led them supernaturally to even do that, to give me that opportunity. Amen. I met Tammy 2 days after I got back from Oklahoma. And I knew by the inward witness, she was my wife. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
I mean, knows you need to marry the right person.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, if you didn't, just repent and ask God to help you, all right? Don't leave and get a divorce.
Amen, amen.
God can change things.
Amen.
But the inward witness, number one way God leads his children. See, I didn't know all this stuff, but God was leading me. I look back and see his hand guiding me, and it was supernatural. It was supernatural. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost in Teen Challenge, I had a little mini vision. And I didn't know Brother Hagin talked about mini visions,
yeah.
M-I-N-I.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and a little light from heaven shined down, and it came right down and went in my mouth and right down on the inside of me. And started speaking in tongues in a whisper. Never got loud, never got boisterous with it. But it was supernatural. The Spirit of God taking up residence on the inside of us. Isn't that something?
Yes.
We're not just the children of God. Our bodies are the temple of the living God. And the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of us. Jesus said, rivers of living water will flow out of our innermost being. That's why it's important for us to pray for people and lay hands on people. You don't have to be a minister of the gospel. You can lay hands on the sick, and rivers of living water can flow out of you into them. Amen?
Amen.
The anointing of the Holy Ghost can destroy the yoke.
Yes.
by your hands.
Yes, 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 yes.
By you. Jesus said in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, the one we were singing about. In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick. And what'll happen?
They shall recover.
And he'll use your hands. Because the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you're parents or grandparents, I encourage you, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't feel like God's not moving on your behalf. It took my parents 5 years to get a hold of some things and for me to turn around. And the more they learn, the worse I got. The more they use their faith believing that God was going to turn my life around, the last 2 years, the last 2 years there, I never had been arrested. Every time I turned around, I was getting locked up. And they were having, you know, they're using their faith. And what they were looking at in the natural was not what they were wanting to see. So how many knows we don't walk by sight? How we walk? We walk by faith. And you take God at his word. He's faithful to watch over this and perform this. And that will change. But you keep your focus on this and believe God.
Amen.
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 Yes. Acts 16:31. Let's quit with that one right there. Acts 16:31. This was something my folks got a hold of. It says, this is the Philippian jailer, Paul and Silas. I believe in jailhouse salvation, jailhouse religion.
Yeah, yeah, amen.
Paul and Silas were in prison, and the Philippian jailer came in and said, Lord, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and what'll happen? Not only will you be saved, but your house shall be saved. Say, my house shall be saved.
My house shall be saved.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's your whole household. My grandmother, she got saved. She grew up, her mother was Methodist. And she got saved at the University of Tennessee in college and got born again. But when she came back, through the years, her whole family got saved. And like I said, she had a tremendous impact on my life. But she was saved, and her house was also saved. And God's faithful to do that. If he'll do that for one person, he'll do that for every person, every household. Say it out loud. My household, shall be saved. Why? Because God said that. I'm asking him to do what he said he would do. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, we can also call on him and our house shall be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Say it out loud. Let's pray this. Father,
Father,
we come to you right now. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you for your word, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his death, burial, and resurrection, we believe he died for our sins, that he was buried, and on the third day, you raised him from the dead, and because of that, we are saved. by the grace of God, his blood washes my sins away, and Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my Savior, and because I believe, not only am I saved, but I believe that my house shall be saved in the name of Jesus. Let's just thank him for it this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation of our household. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
It's good. Amen. Glory to God. How many of you know you the power of God was very manifested in this place this morning? The anointing of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, David. Praise God. Glory to God. You know, your life has been supernatural ever since then, hasn't it? I mean, I was thinking that some people's life is never supernatural, but answer to this prayer, answer to that prayer, this happened, that happened, this money came in, we built this building, we did this. That's just the normal way of life that some people actually make fun of, but that's Christianity. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for his testimony? Aren't you glad for your testimony? Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. Sit down. Well, you can be seated just for a minute. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. We're going to receive an offering for David Gray and Tammy this morning. Praise God. They blessed us. We'll be in obedience to the Word of God. You know, you receive spiritual things. You should bless them back if you're natural things. The Word of God says, you know that. Praise God. So if you need an envelope for your giving, if you make out a check, make it to Cleveland Christian Fellowship. We'll in turn write one check and give it to them. And as always, every penny that comes in and even more beyond will go straight to them. So if you need an envelope for your giving, give me one, brethren, because I didn't do that. Lift your hands high or, you know, right in front of you in the pews, I think, are offering envelopes already. So, you can get that. Amen. Make out your... I usually do it in advance, but I didn't do that today. So if you're online with us, I didn't say that earlier, but we are so glad and so thankful that you were here. I know that you were tremendously, tremendously blessed by the anointing and by this testimony and by the Word of God. It came through in a lot of ways this morning. That came through Brother David. Praise God. And we are so glad that you are here with us. And we love you. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. I know that we most likely have people watching from Indiana and Nigeria and Florida and other parts. Praise God. You see on their guest speaker, or you can just write David down there and we'll all know what it's for. John will. Unless you write in tongues and he'll... Amen. You ready to give? Let's pray over this. Glory to God. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah. We thank you that you are a provider in every area of life. We thank you that we are financially blessed because of you and because of what Jesus did for us. And we come, Father God, and we sow this money into the kingdom of God. We sow it into the life of David and Tammy Gray and their ministry. And they really are, they're more than local pastors. They're pastors, two pastors. Glory to God. We thank you for their life. We thank you for David's testimony. We thank you for Tammy's testimony. We thank you for their ministry and all the different ways that you are using them. Praise God to bless people all over. And we just praise you and thank you for that. We sow this. We give willingly. We give joyfully. And we give generously. And we also give in faith, expecting a bountiful harvest in return. We receive that right now by faith in Jesus' name. And thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Glory to God for your goodness to us, your mercy to us, and for the principle of sowing and reaping. We believe in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead, gentlemen. Wait on the people. Thank you. Amen. Glory to God. Let's all stand together. Praise God. Well, are you glad you came this morning? Are you going out blessed? Praise God, we love you. Don't forget, service night at 6 o'clock. Glory to God. Brother David will be sharing with the graduates. Whatever it is always exciting. It's an exciting service. It always is a good service. And we love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.